This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. We have a new episode every week, and you can always find it at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and wherever else you find podcasts. We're in your podcast app of choice. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I'll be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers, kind of give you an insight into what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. This time, we're talking about the new horror movie called Holidays. Now, what is Holidays? Holidays is a horror anthology that centers around, you guessed it, holidays. Basically, eight holidays throughout the year. Valentine's Day, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and there's several other ones. Halloween, obviously. It's horror. You gotta have Halloween. And there is no narrative framework. There's no Crypt Keeper stringing you along or anything like that. Basically, what it is it's a different director's take on each individual holiday. It's actually a really good movie. You can read my review on the website. Like any anthology, some are better than others, but I was a fan of the film. And we're going to talk to both a producer and a director of the film, as well as one of the actors of the film. And the actor is actually in my favorite one. Like of all eight of them, I'm not trying to play favorites, but Father's Day is my favorite one, and Jocelyn Donahue is the star of that one. So she's coming on to talk to us about that one. And then after that, Adam Egypt Mortimer is going to come on, and he's going to talk about the film itself and the other holidays, how he and the other guys involved ended up getting all these directors, how they pulled this thing together. That is available now on video on demand and in theaters, I believe, limited release on April 22nd. There's no spoilers here, so you don't have to worry about that. You might get a little bit more if you watch the movie first, then come back and listen to it, especially Jocelyn's, because she does talk about her specific section, which is my favorite. Did I say that already? I'm going to say it again. Father's Day is my favorite. So let's start with her. We're going to talk with Jocelyn Donahue. You might remember her. She starred in Ty West's House of the Devil, and she is basically a young woman who finds an audio tape of her deceased father. And it kind of leads her on a path that I don't want to say much about. But like every one of these sections, it's only about a 10 or 12 minute mini movie. It's a short. And she has to carry the whole movie on her shoulders. Like a lot of it it's very based in emotional depth. And I think Jocelyn did a fantastic job and really sold me. By the end of her film, all I wanted was a feature length film of this. I think it could be a kick-ass feature length film. So hopefully you've seen the movie. If you haven't, be sure to watch it. Holidays is what it's called. It's on video on demand right now. And like I said, select theaters nationwide April 22nd. But right now we're going to talk to Jocelyn Donahue, star of the segment Father's Day. And as always, when we do these interviews, these are phone interviews. These both Jocelyn and Adam are on site at Tribeca Film Festival. So obviously you're going to hear background noise and that sort of thing. It's never optimal sound quality, but it's still a great interview. Please enjoy it. Here's Jocelyn Donahue.
Hey, Aaron, it's Jocelyn.
Hey, now we're on the right wavelength. How are you?
Great. Good. How are you doing?
Good. So you're doing a junket? You're bouncing from interview to interview or what?
Yep, exactly. In the middle of talking about the movie, which has been
Well, before we get into holidays, I do like to ask everybody what got you into acting, what brought you into filmmaking, what was it, a dream all your life or a moment or what?
Well, I never was really a performer or an actor growing up. My first experiences on set were actually working in wardrobe. Okay. I was a stylist assistant while I was in college and got a taste for what it's like to be, you know, on a set, work creatively that way. And when I moved to LA, I had some friends who were working as commercial actors and actors, and I brought some pictures in, and I've been doing commercial work ever since. And then that led to doing film and TV things, and kind of an overachiever. So when I first started doing it, I wanted to do it the best that I could and really studied it and learned it the best I could. But I went to school for sociology.
Oh, wow. That's a big change.
Yeah.
That's a big change. A funny coincidence. I remember seeing you first in Ty West's The House of the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the night I screened Holidays was actually the same night I screened his latest movie at South by Southwest. So it's a little, I don't know, just cool. random coincidence.
Yeah, the Western.
Yeah, and A Valley of Violence is pretty good.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, how did you get attached to Holidays? Did you get how did that even come up?
It was just the director, Anthony Scott Burns, reached out to me. We had a meeting and was really impressed with him on our first sit down. He's a really competent, smart guy, self-taught. He has a background in VFX and sci-fi, and his work kind of has this cool edge to it. And then when I read the script for Father's Day, I thought it was a great concept for a short film.
So what about that concept spoke to you the most, I guess?
I like that it's not really plot or action driven, that it's really, it feels almost like a fable or an allegory, like for what happens after we die. You know, it's what lengths would you go to see someone again that you've lost? You know, when you lose a parent or someone close to you, it's, you start questioning metaphysical things, and then she gets a chance out of the blue to see her father again, and she's willing to do whatever it takes to see him one more time.
So Father's Day was the only segment that you were, it wasn't like you get to walk into a room and pick one of eight or something like that?
No. That specific filmmaker contacted me. But that's what's so fun about this movie, is that even today I'm just getting to meet all the other people that worked on the film. There's, you know, eight different ones, so it's a lot of people and a lot of work to celebrate.
Yeah, it's a lot. Now, how long a shoot did your segment end up being? I heard like 3 days a piece. Is that about what yours was?
Yeah, I think it might have been, yeah, 3 or 4 days. It was one day in Los Angeles in Echo Park, and then a few days out in the Salton Sea, which is a very surreal location, and really creepy and desolate and perfect for this kind of story.
What was different about shooting just this versus doing a full-length feature or a part in a different kind of movie? Is doing an anthology at all, other than the short limited amount of time, what's different about the filmmaking process?
I think Anthony's approach was still probably how he works on a feature. He's very detail oriented and very committed to style, and he was, you know, had the whole thing storyboarded and was very specific about the look and the feel. But it is interesting to work on a short because you're trying to tell a story in only, you know, 12 minutes. And he took on some really, you know, deep themes in a short period of time. So I think he's really smart what he did, because it's something that everyone can relate to. And it's also something that's not answerable. Like, it's really not resolved at the end, because we don't really know what happens in the afterlife or if it's possible to reconnect with your lost loved ones. So it was an interesting concept for a short film.
Yeah, and don't tell anyone, but it's my favorite it's my favorite segment in the whole movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really, really clever.
Awesome.
How hard is that for you? Because I assume you walk in and you're given a script. You know what the script's going to be, but you've got, I don't know, whatever you said, 12 minutes total to make a fully-fledged character that people need to... Because this one, I will say, this segment is a lot more character-driven than the other one, some of the other ones. And how hard is that for you as an actor to be like, well, this whole thing's really kind of on my shoulders?
Yeah, and we talked about that going into it. And, you know, he said this whole film is from your perspective and through your eyes. And is, you have, you know, you have to emote this entire movie. And it was interesting because we hadn't recorded Michael Gross's voiceover, and they didn't record that until after I shot. So
really?
Yeah. So in the opening segment where I first get the tape and I'm sitting at the table and listening to that, I was listening to a recording that Anthony had made and distorted, so it was kind of creepy and weird. But then the whole time where I'm wandering, trying to find him in the Salton Sea, I was basically just using my imagination. You know, I would figure out where I was and what the information he was telling me then. But it was, I wasn't working with another actor. So that was an interesting challenge.
Yeah. And it's almost like a CGI dinosaur or something.
Yeah.
The whatever they did, whatever technique they used to make the audio sound the way it sounded. I mean, it really came across 1980s Evil Dead almost. I mean, it was just,
totally.
Very, very, very well done.
Yeah, it's funny. We talked about, you know, the headphones and the walk. Anthony loves that. He had a, you know, like a fetish for these cool gear. And he has the sounds. He did the composition of the music. So he's involved in every aspect of it. And I know that the audio was very important to him.
Oh, that was really cool. So yeah. How hard is it for you now that you're basically trying to sell a movie that you're an eighth of? How hard is that? Did you actually have to go and watch the movie before you could even go out and sell it, so you had a better understanding of how everything went together? Or do you just go out and really, you're just there for Father's Day?
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen it, so tonight will be my first time seeing everybody else's work. So yeah, it's kind of actually fun. It takes some pressure off, you know, because everyone is here, you know, holding up their part of the movie, but we can all enjoy everybody else's work as well.
That's really cool. It's
yeah.
Now, is there anything about being part of the anthology that really spoke, like, you wanted to be part of it because it was that way, that it's not all on your shoulders, that you'll get to kind of get a taste of other filmmakers, that you get to be a small piece of a bigger puzzle?
Kind of, yeah, thing? Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is to be in the presence of, you know, all these great people working in the horror genre. And I just, as soon as I heard about what the concept was, Holidays is a great thing to build a horror anthology around. You know, there's just mm-hmm. a lot of material there to work from, because a lot of holidays have either religious or supernatural elements, or, you know, there's the stress of and the pressure of dealing with family or traveling. So there's just a lot of material there to pull from.
I'm looking at your IMDb, you've got a lot going on. So what is what is your next project you're really excited about, or the coolest upcoming one you've got going on?
I'm excited about a movie called Dead Awake that hopefully will be coming out later this year, or doing festivals or coming out later this year. It's from the writer of Final Destination, Jeffrey Reddick.
Nice.
And who's a wonderful guy, very smart and knowledgeable about the genre, very passionate about horror, and great director, Philip Guzman. And the movie is about sleep paralysis.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but it's something that a lot of people, you know, go through, and it's absolutely terrifying real life phenomenon for people. So I think it's something that people will either completely avoid or totally understand and relate to. It's terrifying. But the cool thing about that movie is that I play twins. So it's one sister investigating her sister's death.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And no, I've never experienced it, and it doesn't sound like anything I want to. So
yeah. Well, you can experience it through my eyes if you're up for it.
Yeah. I love horror movies, so that's fantastic. Cool. In closing, if you were to sell this movie to somebody that has never heard of Holidays or is trying, I mean, how would you sell the movie? What's your sales pitch?
I just think it's a really fun concept, and on top of it showcases a lot of talented filmmakers, and like I said, Holidays is just the perfect thing to base a horror film around, because there's a lot of drama around the holidays, so you can imagine that there can be a lot of horror too.
Yeah, it's horrific enough without all the extra stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I just talked to Adam Mortimer, and he wanted me to say, hey, he loves you.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. So hey, right back. Cool.
I will let you get back to your junket and your interviews, and I really appreciate you taking the time to swing by.
Sure. Thanks so much, Aaron.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Give her a hand. She was great. Yeah, it's audio. Why would you give her a hand? But she still did a great job, and I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. A lot of insight. And like I said, definitely check out her segment. Is great. I just love that idea, the concept. Michael Gross does the audio voice of the deceased dad, and whatever they did in the audio is just intriguing and interesting and creepy. It's really creepy. I mean, it's kind of creepy that the Family Ties dad is creeping me out like he was, but he definitely was. Okay, now we go to Adam Egypt Mortimer. Now, he is a producer and a director. He directed the New Year's portion of the film, which is really twisted. It's kind of like if you were on New Year's Eve and you were desperate for a date, so you went on Match.com and you found that special someone, and then they might have turned out to be a sadistic serial killer. That's pretty much what the concept is, but there is a twist to his. And he's also a producer, like I said. So he does talk about how Kevin Smith got involved. You know Kevin Smith, right? Yeah, did Mallrats, a couple other movies. You might have heard of him. He's part of this. He does the Halloween portion. And the best part about Holidays is how there are so many independent filmmakers and unique filmmakers involved in this film. So there are a lot of different ideas and concepts that are at play here. And some of them are really, really clever. So if anything, check out the movie just to see some of these ideas. By the time the movie was over, I had so many, my mind was going in so many different places. And now Adam's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about getting that movie made and what it was like to make it. And while he's doing this interview, he's walking the streets of New York, eating a falafel, and just trying to get to his next interview. These guys were kind enough to give us a little bit of time while they are perusing through Tribeca Film Festival, and I hope the release went well for them. Here's Adam Egypt Mortimer talking about Holidays.
Hey there, this is Adam.
Hey Adam, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, where are you at right now? You're at the Tribeca Film Festival?
Yeah, I'm actually just walking down 22nd Street on my way to meet somebody. So I'm hustling through the streets of Manhattan,
well,
eating a falafel.
I appreciate the taking the time out of your falafel to call us.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a chance to see the movie?
I did. Yes.
Cool. Great.
And I got to tell you, it's not quite what I expected. Well, I guess I'll get to that. I'll get to that in a second. I always like to ask everybody, the first question I ask is, what got you into filmmaking? Was there a moment? Was it a lifelong dream? What was it?
It's hard to pinpoint it as a moment. The thing that that really stands out as a memory is two different experiences I saw watching movies, one of which was I saw the movie Watership Down when I was like a toddler. Like, it was maybe one of the first movies I ever saw. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie. It's an animated film about rabbits that have to find a new home because they sense the impending apocalypse that their burrow is going to be bulldozed.
It's from the 70s, right?
Yeah, and it's just like the most, I mean, by any measure, it's an incredibly disturbing film. The fact that it's animated rabbits, so you sort of get tricked into thinking that you should show it to your children, makes it, like, I was, like, damaged by that movie for years. And you know, for months afterwards, like, I had nightmares, like, the shadows were coming to life around me. Like, it was a really horrible, horrible experience, but one that I couldn't forget. And then another thing like that, when I was a little bit older, was I watched a VHS copy of Pink Floyd's The Wall, which I think people don't talk about that enough as like a cinematic experience. You know, yeah. It's directed by Alan Parker, who also made Angel Heart and all kinds of other great films.
Absolutely.
And that movie really, really disturbed me also. And so I think when I sort of think back on my watching movies past, there were these experiences I had that were like incredibly traumatic, like in this kind of physical way. And I think something about that has always stuck with me as maybe, you know, a certain aspect of why I like movies or why I wanted to be involved with them or why I wanted to sort of obsess over their creation.
And now you're making them. Now you've got this project, and it's odd because it's an anthology film, and normally I think when people think of that, they think there's a narrator, there's a crypt keeper, there's a Rod Serling type, you know, kind of guiding us through. But this movie doesn't do that. And I want to talk about that in a second. But first, how did this even come together?
It was the brainchild of a guy named John Hegeman, who has wanted to produce this Holidays movie for many years. He's somebody who was a fan of my work. I did, like, short films and things for him over the years. And when he saw... It just so happened, it was great timing. Like, right when I had finished my first feature, Some Kind of Hate, he saw an early cut of that and was a fan. And Holidays was just coming together, being financed for him. And so he invited me to join him. You know, he invited me to direct one of the segments and then to also sort of help him in producing it and understanding what can be done at this kind of a low budget and to help put him in touch with other directors that I think would have been good. He's a guy, you know, he was like a, and still is a marketing executive at big Hollywood studios and was responsible for picking up Blair Witch Project and creating the marketing around that movie of, you know, telling people that it really happened.
Wow.
So
he
has this sort of like wonderful, you know, sort of William Castle-esque approach to like really sensationalist marketing concepts. And Holidays, you know, it's one of these things that's just incredibly simple idea, which now that it's executed and it's out there, you can see like, oh, that really simple idea, like really, really works. And you can see why this is something that, you know, that can be this movie that really engages filmmakers and can be played like year round and, you know, could hopefully lead to more of them.
And he was responsible for the Blair Witch marketing, huh? Because I know a lot of people that probably still want to punch him in the face for thinking that was real. That was great. Great job.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he's a little bit legendary, and so I've always really enjoyed working with him, and I knew that with him, you know, kind of behind the curtain on this thing, that it would add up to something. You know, you get involved with these, like, low-budget horror things, and you just hope that people will see it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just hope that you want to be a part of the pop culture conversation. You know what I mean? And I think John is a guy who figures out how to put hooks into things.
Well, coming back to the movie itself, Holidays, the fact that, like I talked about earlier, you don't have a narrator, there's no real narrative tissue to connect everything. Was that always the intention, or was there like a narrator at one point and he just got lost along the way?
No, there was never a narrator. It was only ever this idea of there's going to be this conceptual thematic connection of it being holidays, but I don't think we ever really talked about like weaving any kind of story or a frame story that felt, I don't think there was, we ever saw past to that where that was going to be, where it wasn't going to be cheesy. I mean, I think the thing that's kind of cool about the overall approach to the movie is that there's something that, you know, sort of takes it, I mean, some of them are very funny,
mm-hmm.
but there's something sort of taking it seriously in a certain kind of execution, which, you know, a Crypt Keeper type figure wouldn't really lend itself to. I mean, even, you know, I know John is a big fan of Creepshow. I mean, Creepshow is an awesome movie. Even that doesn't really have a frame story, right? It just has
the
interstitial images of seeing it framed within being a comic book,
right?
Which I never really understood how that connected to what the movie is. And I think this was something like that, where it's like the thing that connects it is you're going to see eight totally insane, totally different stories about holidays. And because it sort of turns it into a year-round thing with this idea about what holidays might mean to eight different directors, the audience gets to sort of form connections and thematic ideas around them.
Yeah, I liked, hey, watch out. most of the directors here are up-and-comers, but you have accomplished ones, and like Kevin Smith. How did you guys determine who was going to be involved? Because I know as a producer, I know you were involved in that portion of it. And most importantly, who was going to do which holiday?
So the names of the directors came from, you know, we sort of had a couple different producers on this who all had different directors that we wanted to get involved. So I had just seen Sarah Smith's movie Midnight Swim at a film festival, and I thought, this movie's amazing. I don't, you know, I got to do something with this filmmaker. And so I really wanted to make sure she was in it. I wanted to make sure that Dennis and Kevin were involved because I love Starry Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, not only did they do Valentine's Day, but then I wound up asking them to collaborate with me. And so they wrote my segment New Year's. And we worked with XYZ Films. They were a producing partner. And they had all of these great connections to filmmakers that they had worked with, like Nicholas McCarthy or Kevin Smith, or filmmakers that they knew about that they were dying to find a way to work with. So Gary Shore is a really, like, big director. He does big studio movies and giant commercials. They really wanted to work with him. So, you know, putting him in to an anthology was a way to be able to, like, you know, get some of his time and have him, you know, bring his game to what we were doing. I think the way we did the holidays was we invited people to be a part of the film, and they generally would say, here's a holiday I want to do. And if it was something that where a couple different people were fighting over it, we had to figure that out. But, you know, Gary Shore showed up and said, I'm Irish, I want to do St. Patrick's Day. And we said, well, that's a perfect fit. You know, go and do that. There wasn't too much like rigging or manipulation or, you know, jockeying. I think that the biggest example of that I can remember is that Dennis and Kevin, I think they wrote a Halloween, but they wrote the whole script and it was great, but Kevin Smith wanted to do a Halloween, and we said, well, all right, we want Kevin Smith to be part of this movie, so he's going to do Halloween. Then they wrote a Christmas, but it turned out Scott Stewart was doing Christmas, so they actually, they came up with enough great ideas that they could have had their own entire anthology.
Wow, that's great. That leads me to your segment, which was, is it New Year's Eve or New Year's? I thought it was New Year's Eve.
I'd always considered it New Year's Eve, but somewhere along the way, I think John pointed out the actual holiday is New Year's, so let's call it New Year's.
Gotcha.
People can call it, you know, sort of, it obviously, you know, it takes place on New Year's Eve. That's the setting. It ends on the New Year. Call it what you will, man. Time is an illusion.
It's a fun one. I know that about the girl looking for love and things go a little south. What made you decide on that as your story? That's the one you wanted to do.
Yeah, so originally when I was first invited to be on the anthology, I actually had a completely different holiday, and I wrote a script for it, and it was Passover. And I had a really interesting kind of brutal vision quest sort of narrative centered around Passover. But then when I saw what everybody else had done, so I wound up filming mine last, and I saw what everybody else had done and how the anthology was shaping up. And I had a couple thoughts about it. One was that New Year's feels like a really important part of the calendar of holidays, and it felt sort of off to not represent that. And I also felt that, like, many of these pieces went in these very, like, beautiful and kind of cerebral directions. Mm-hmm. You know, like Father's Day is the best example of that. It's this beautiful, sort of emotional, sad. And I felt like I think we need something where people get slammed through fucking furniture and guns go off and limbs get cut off. You know what I mean? I was like, first of all, I want to shoot that. Like, that's the thing I want to shoot now. Uh-huh. And I think that this anthology needs to have a piece like that. And I wanted it to be first. I thought, like, let's just kick some ass and start off. But since it works either way, we sort of looked at the flow of the things and wound up putting it at the end so that we are literally ending with a bang with those last couple seconds. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but, like, we use the idea of the New Year's countdown as, like, a device to show this, like, super brutal fight to the death. And that seemed like a good way to end a movie.
Yeah, it was. It was a nice twist, too. I like the twist in there.
There is a twist. I know it's one of those things where it's like, it's when you do a short film, when you do a 9-minute movie, it's hard to even describe what it is without giving away the twist, right?
It really is.
By the time you get to the twist, you know, the twist sort of becomes the premise, and then the movie's over. But there is a cool twist, and it's, you know, it's the idea of this story was like, New Year's rolls around and you say, like, we're going to have the most fun we've ever had, and we're going to, like, go out, and it's, oh my God, New Year's, this has to be the best year. Like, there's so much pressure about New Year's, and, you know, it's sort of taking that anxiety and turning it into something that's kind of a relatable, like, oh, I'm going to go on a blind date on New Year's, which is a horrible idea. And you take all that anxiety, but then you add, you know, axes and guns and truly sociopathic people.
It makes for a fun date, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it harder for you to direct a short film like this where you only have, like, 10 minutes to tell a story or versus Some Kind of Hate where you had almost an hour and a half? Which one's harder, even though I know one's shorter on time?
Yeah, I don't think that one is more or less difficult as far as telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Look, with 9 minutes, you can get through the story a little bit. You have a lot of the pressures off, right? You're like, you just need to kind of get to these moments. You try to show these characters. I mean, you know, somehow we were able to do something with New Year's where it's action-packed, but I still got to really let it breathe in the middle with this, you know, long, funny, awkward dialogue sequence, which I love. You know, I love that as much as I love the action. So we were able to do that in a feature. You know, obviously it would have just taken so long to figure out how to make that movie. So I get, in that sense, there was something easier.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, like, shooting it and executing it, it didn't feel any easier. It felt like, I actually felt more pressure making this segment from Holidays because I saw all the other wonderful films everybody else had made, and I sort of felt, like, competitive, you know, or like it has to rise to the occasion. And I had this real time crunch on it. And when the thing that makes it really difficult from a filmmaking point of view is on Some Kind of Hate, we had 20 days. If you get a little bit behind one day on day five, on day 18, you can shoot those scenes again. After the 20 days, you might come back a month later and do some pickup shots. With this, we have 3 days, and when you have a 3-day shoot, if you fuck something up, it's just gone forever, and you're destroyed.
Oh, so good call.
There's this, like, you know, real, like, pressure to, like, to use your time, but you're also trying to be ambitious and have stunts and effects, and, you know, there's nothing worse than standing around waiting for a piece of rubber to start bleeding. You know, you've only got half a day left in your entire shoot.
That's fantastic. Okay, I got one more question, then I'll let you go.
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite segment beside your own? And I know you love them all. I know you love them all, but if you had to pick, what's your favorite one?
Well, I do love Gary Shore's St. Patrick's Day. I think it's just so fucking insane. Like, I think he really, you know, he executes it on such a high level. It in some ways it reminds me of Edgar Wright with like the aggressive cutting style and the hilarious. Like, it's so funny, and I had to watch it over and over again to hear. There's all of this background dialogue that's the most insane things. It's I think that one's really wonderful, and I love that. You know, as a guy who is Irish, he shot that in Ireland, and, you know, it was really, like, sort of personal for him, but also just so fun and bananas.
Oh, it's out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's out there. Well, thanks so much for joining us, and I got to let you go because I know you've got a meeting to go to, and, like I said, Jocelyn's coming on. So,
cool.
Thanks so much.
Well, say hi to Jocelyn. I love Jocelyn in her movie. I think she's so great. I'm so happy that we had her in this.
Oh, it's a great – hers is a great segment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's amazing.
Okay, well, you take care, and best of luck with the release.
Well, thanks so much, buddy. I really appreciate this. This was great.
Not a problem. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. How about that one? Did you like that one? Well, I hope you did. I thought they were both great. Jocelyn and Adam, thanks so much for coming on. Once again, the movie is called Holidays. There are 8 holidays represented. Valentine's Day, St. Paddy's Day, Easter, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Halloween, and New Year's. All your favorite days. I mean, maybe it's missing like Labor Day, but is it really a holiday? I mean, we debate it every year. It's just nice to get the day off. We don't really care what the reasons are, right? It's a fun movie. Definitely check it out on video demand now. And I want to say one more time, thanks to Adam and Jocelyn for taking the time to come talk to The Hollywood Outsider. That's going to do it for this episode. If you got any questions about this, be sure to email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Remember to subscribe and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, your podcast app of choice, and we have Apple and Android apps. And I think we're on the Google Play Store, too, so you can find us there. We're basically everywhere. Everywhere on the internets. The Hollywood Outsider's out there, so go find us. We like to bring in these interviews when we can, usually with independent filmmakers, because that's really what we care most about. That's what I care most about. You're going to see 1,000 Hugh Jackman interviews. How many interviews are you going to see with independent filmmakers? That's what I prefer to do. So I hope you guys had a great time. I hope you enjoyed the interviews. I hope, if anything, it caused a little bit of a tinge in your heart that made you want to go see Holidays, because I definitely think it's a fun horror movie. We don't get many unique horror movies these days, and it's definitely a little bit of a twist on how the anthology horror film comes together. So check it out, Holidays. That's going to do it for this episode of Hollywood Outsider. And remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.